you show him? Kevin, did you teach him? Show him the thing. Am I on? Good morning again. Welcome to our first worship service of 2008. Amen, yeah. Holidays are behind us. We have officially closed out 07, and we're at the very beginning of a new year. And in many ways, not all that much has changed. I mean, it is a new year, but for the most part, that's only a date. It's just another day. It's a new year, but we change now to 08, and the dates move on. But dates can be significant. Dates are important. I mean, dates mark special events, holidays, anniversaries. If you think anniversaries aren't important, try missing one time, right? And then we find out how important they are. Special memories, dates mark special memories. Past events, dates mark the passing of time. I mean, I'm struck a little bit. You think about 2008. How many remember if I said Y2K, what does that mean to you? Yeah, the year 2000 scare, everybody's, the computers are going to crash, and we're all worried about that. And that's like 8 years ago. So it's amazing. But the new year brings with it a fresh start, a new beginning. And we've all wanted, I believe, at one point or another, a fresh start or a new beginning. I mean, that's the concept of New Year's, this fresh start. And maybe that's why we relate in some form or another to New Year's. It's this idea of a fresh start, an idea of a new beginning. This idea that's, you know, this year things are going to be different. Something's going to change. And things are going to change and things are going to get better. That's what we idea behind. That's the whole idea behind resolutions, whether you make them or not. There's going to be a change. And for order that to happen in any area of your life, if you're going to say, this is a year something's going to change, for that to happen, you have to have an honest understanding of where you're at now. I mean, it sounds kind of simple, but it is. You can't change and you can't move forward until you have a true evaluation of where you are right now. And you can't say things will be different without being honest about that and have a starting point. And we do that really as a country, in a sense, if you will. But every year in January, we are treated to the State of the Union by the President of the United States. In fact, Article 3 of the Constitution says this, and out of Section 3, it says, he shall, meaning the President, from time to time give to Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. I mean, he kind of tells us in his idea of where we're at as a country and where we should be heading as a country. This is where we're at now. This is where we need to go. And so I think as we stand at the beginning of 2008, it's a good question to ask. What's the state of the church? What's the state of the local church? What's the state of the church corporately? And what's the state of my personal walk with God? That might be a very healthy thing to ask. And I can help you with the state of the church. I can help you with the state of the church locally, and I can help you with the state of the church corporately, universally, and I can even help you with your personal state, your personal walk, to a point. For the most part, only you and God understands exactly where your heart's at. And you have to address that with God. And I mean, we can help you with things and we can see things in your life and help you with those things, but that's really a lot of it has to be where your heart is with God. But I want to take a brief look this morning, and we're going to move on from there, but what I would call the state of New Hope Christian Fellowship, where we're at as a church. And I would say, by and large, we're doing well. And what do I mean by that? I would say we're surviving as a congregation and a local church in the area. And we're not growing like I'd like to grow. I believe we'll address those issues, but truthfully, you know, not the extent we're at. But let me explain what I mean by surviving. Functionally, we're very solid. We have survived as a church, as New Hope Christian Fellowship, for almost 15 years. It's been stronger and smaller and larger and smaller, and we kind of go through these cycles. But I know many churches that have started and stopped and not function in that period of time. Many, many churches. So we're very solid. We're a body of believers to be blessed without strife and without contention. I know several churches that are very large or much, much larger than us and have great strife and great contention going on within the body and within the leadership. And so believe me, that's extremely important. And if we're going to move and we're going to grow from any point, you have to start at a point of peace and a point without strife, without contention, and having a solid foundation. So I think we're solid as a church in that area. We're solid financially. Now, we're not anywhere near where we'd like to be. to be more effective in the kingdom of God and be offer more ministry as a local church. But we're not in financial trouble. Our bills are paid at the full at the each and every month. We carry no loans, and we pay everything off in full. Now, at times we've had a dip in the savings to do that. Other times we try to put back. At times we've had more in the savings for building and those types of things. But we're paid in full. And again, you know, I know churches that are hugely in debt or struggle with doing that. And we are blessed. Our treasurer, Nancy Shefchuk, does a wonderful and an admirable job of maintaining our treasury and watching over the funds and the books. And trust me, it is an underappreciated job. We go home on Sundays, and many Sundays she'll go home and spend hours just balancing things or paying things and orchestrating things. And she's very diligent and more than faithful in her position. But I want you to know, as a church, that we pay our bills at the end of every month. And you know, it's important to do that and to be that. And I bumped into a friend of mine that used to pastor a church, and he's no longer pastoring it. And one of the main reasons he stopped pastoring and closed his church down is he could no longer afford to pay the bills. That was one of the biggest reasons. There are other issues, and maybe there's some issues behind that as well. But we're blessed in that. As a church, we are solid biblically. Now I say that with all humility. All the glory goes to God. But I know of churches where their messages are that they preach are not biblically sound. Our doctrine and our message is held a test of biblical scrutiny, and we pray prayerfully that we will remain submitted to God and humble before God and faithful to God. But I will hold our messages and our doctrine up to scrutiny at any time, and they stand in that. And so we follow the heart of God and follow the Word of God as our standard. And that's important. I mean, wouldn't you consider that important as a church that you attend, that the Bible speaks to us as individuals, not what we feel is right, but what the Bible does? And I think as a body, you know, I'm going to go a little further, too, as we stand as a body. As a body of believers and as a minister of the gospel of Christ, we stand in our rightful authority against the works of the evil one. And what do I mean by that? We've cast demonic forces out of individuals' lives personally. And we've stood corporately is what the enemy tries to do in the area. Not every church does that. I mean, we have testimonies of individuals that would have been hospitalized, we have prayed for them and cast the enemy out of them, and they're living full, complete lives without the problems that they had when they were under demonic control. So what does that mean? We stand biblically on our right. We make a force for the kingdom of God in our church. And so I think that's extremely important. I believe our worship is very anointed and without strife. Do we desire to grow in the worship? Sure, we desire to grow in many areas of our church. But trust me, it is blessed, it's anointed, and without strife. And again, that is important. I have been to churches and know of churches that have what you would call studio musicians playing. I mean, extremely talented, but with great strife. Or it's all about them, and there's no anointing. I really want the anointing, don't you? So state of the church, where it's at. And in a sense, it's a very brief picture of where we're at and where we stand as a church. And I think it's important to address that, to say, where are we? Where are we biblically? What are we doing as a church? What areas do we need to change if we're going to grow, if we're going to move forward? And so where do we want to go? I think in order to continue to survive, but do so more than that, but to thrive, we need to move forward in our calling as a church. And I believe with all my heart that God desires for us to thrive as a local body, to have an impact for the kingdom of God in the local area. So there's a lot more work that needs to be done in the kingdom of God and many more lives that need to be touched by the gospel. And I say with all humility that I believe that we have a ministry here that is able to touch those lives, not just in and of myself, but in other individuals that are in the church. And it's a ministry that has been proven over the years that people's lives have been touched. But there are other areas of ministry that need to be attended to, that require more ministers or more individuals to get involved in order to accomplish that. Some people will come and do some things that will free me up to do other things. And as we grow, we'll be able to bring other areas of ministry in. Youth, as an example, we're growing in the youth. The youth is doing wonderful, but we've believed for years for a youth minister. There's areas for marriage and singles and hurting people that need to be attended to. So I think what I'm trying to say this morning is you can never be content in just surviving. You can never be complacent. God did not call us to complacency, did he? And so we can't be content in just surviving. And I want you to understand something. While we rightfully stand against the works of the enemy and his working in people's lives, we never stand against people. Because quite simply, people need the Lord. People need God. So it's all right to stand against the works of the enemy, but sometimes we get so caught up in that, and that's what we all were about, and that's only part of what we're about. And we never stand against people. We stand against the works of some evil in their life, but encourage people because people need God. And I think it's just as important to know what you stand for as it is to know what you stand against. And understand what I'm saying with that. It's important to know what you stand for as it is what you stand against. I mean, we are for encouraging. We are for uplifting. We are for healing and restoring and blessing people in their lives. And so I believe with all my heart that 2008 is not a year of complacency and idleness. 2008 is a year to make substantial strides for the kingdom of God and for New Hope Christian Fellowship. I really believe that. I believe we have to make a stand and say, let's do something about what God is doing in this local area and in this church. And only we can make that decision. Only we can say we are going to stand up. I appreciate what Mike said earlier. We need to pray. We need to get together and not be complacent about it. In order for that to happen, it will require an increased effort on everybody's part to be committed to God and committed to what God is doing in this church and in your life personally. And that's what God will ask of you, to be an increased effort. And I truly believe that God is speaking to each of you and will continue to speak to each of you what he wants you to do in the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God, to be involved in the kingdom of God. And I think it's important to understand, of all the things that you will put your hand to this year, and trust me, there will be a lot of things. We're all busy people. But all the things that you will put your hand to this year, what you do for the kingdom of God will have an eternal impact, an eternal effect. I did contracting for years, and it's very interesting to, one of the nice things about contracting is that as a builder, there's a start and a stop to something, and you see a completion. And you can go buy a project or a building and say, well, we built that, and it stands and you see it. You know, in the ministry, you don't always see that start and stop. When you're working in people's lives, sometimes you don't see it immediately. I've seen some dramatic things over the years, but sometimes you don't see something significant right away. It's kind of slow growing, but there's an impact. But you know, buildings will eventually crumble. The things that you do for God have an eternal impact and an eternal effect on individuals' lives. So if God is calling you personally and me personally to greater things for 2008, and I'm telling you that he is, you have to understand where you are right now if you're going to understand where he wants to take you. You have to take an honest look at where you are, not just where we are as a church. Where are you personally? Where do you stand in your walk? And if you were to stand this morning and deliver a state of your personal union with God, we have the State of the Union address, we have the State of the Church address. What if you were to stand and deliver a state of your personal union with God? What might it sound like? And I'm talking about an honest statement. What would that sound like? I can tell you that if I were to deliver such a state, it would leave little doubt that there's room for growth and improvement. That's just a reality. Where are we at with God, and where do we want to go? So where do you stand? Where are you now? What would you say honestly in your heart? In an effort to clarify that, I want to share with you, with just a little bit this morning, where Christians are at as a whole. John's going to pop something up for me up there, hopefully. Christianity Today, that's good, leave it right there, thank you. Christianity Today International and Zondervan Publishers recently commissioned a study of professing Christians in the United States. And in this study, they came up with what they would call five kinds of Christians. And you're going to find yourself in there somewhere. Now understand, as they do these studies that they've had for years, and it fluctuates depending on the poll, but the people in the United States that call themselves Christians are anywhere between 70 to 84% of the United States. Meaning 75 to 85% as a rule, depending on the year, they would say, I am a Christian. Now, as we stand back and look at the United States and what we understand Christianity to be, we'd have to kind of scratch our heads at that, wouldn't you? But 70 to 85% say, I am a Christian. So that's where they're at. So this group falls into one of these five categories. And we have active Christians, professing Christians, liturgical, private, and culture Christians. And they kind of break down like this. So if you're an active Christian, what does it tell you up there? That you believe that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Well, we know that's important. And you know, there are a lot of churches that would call themselves a Christian that would not make that statement. Committed churchgoers, that's important. If the word is active. Bible readers, accept leadership positions. What does that mean, accept leadership positions? Mean you get involved in the church, you're willing to do something? Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be clergy or you're going to be the head of the department, but you're going to be involved in some sort of leading people, encouraging people. You may be in charge of just being the helps in the church, but you're over that. You're involved in that and being involved in that. Invest in personal faith development through the church. You know, you're going to grow in your faith. And then the things we put on Tuesday nights and Sundays, they're there to help us grow, aren't they? They're there for a purpose. And you say, I'm going to invest that time so I grow as a believer. And you feel obligated to share your faith, and 79% do so. Now, when they say 79%, they mean 79% of the 19% that call themselves active Christians. Not 79% of people who call themselves Christians, but people who are active. 79% do that. Next one would be a professing Christian. 20% of Christianity are professing Christians. Of all that call themselves Christians, believe salvation comes through Jesus Christ. They focus on personal relationship with God and Jesus. There's similar beliefs to active Christians, but they have different actions. And what are some of the differences? Less involved in church, both in attending and in serving. Less committed to Bible reading or sharing faith. Now, they understand that Christ is their Lord. They profess that. They make a public confession of it. But they're not acting it out in their lives. They're not being that involved in the things that God has called every individual to be involved in. Liturgical Christians. Some of us grew up in the liturgical society or faith, rather. Predominantly Catholic and Lutheran. I suppose you throw maybe Methodist in there, maybe not. Regular churchgoers, high level of spiritual activity, mostly expressed by serving in the church or community, recognize the authority of the church. But I think we all understand what we mean when we say liturgical Christians. Again, some of us grew up in that. You go to a major denomination, you're involved, your faith is attending that church for that week, and that's your faith, by and large, for the most part. I don't want to be too broad brush here. Private Christians. And these next two, those that study these things, are the ones that they're most concerned about because they see the society, especially younger, going in this direction. And we need to make an impact in their lives, as well in the lives of the ones before that. They're the largest and the youngest segment. Believe in God and doing good things. They own a Bible, but they don't read it. They have spiritual interest, but not within church context. They're interested in things spiritually, but not within the church. Only about a third attend church at all, and almost none are church leaders, meaning they're not involved in the things of the church. And then we have cultural Christians, little outward religious belief, or behavior, or attitudes. They're kind of aware of God, but little in personal involvement at all with God whatsoever. Do not view Jesus as essential to salvation. They affirm many ways to God, and they favor universality theology. We're all going to get to heaven in some way, shape, or form. And there are a lot that call themselves Christians, but they believe in God, and they believe it under an umbrella of Christianity, so they call themselves Christians. But they don't understand what it means to be a Christian. So if we were to look at our United States, we would find that you can shut that off up there now, John, thank you. We would find, if we were to look at the United States, that when they look at somebody says there's that many Christians, 80% of Christianity is whatever in the United States, they're going to fall in that category in somewhere. Now, you probably found your personal state of your union with God in there somewhere. And it may not be exactly. Maybe you have a blending of two of them up there. Maybe you have a little of one, not enough of the other. But we all find ourselves in there somewhere. And why do I say that's important to put that up there? Because if we're going to go somewhere, we need to understand where we are right now. If you're going to move somewhere with God this year, if you say 2008, things are going to be better with me and God. I'm going to have a greater relationship with God. You need to understand where you're at right now. And so do you find yourself exactly where you want to be? And do you find yourself exactly where God is calling you to be? I think hopefully all of us would say we would consider ourselves an active Christian for the most part. But even if you're an active Christian, there's undoubtedly areas in your life where we need to work on. And that's the purpose of the church, and that's the purpose of personal study in your own as well. Now, I want to clarify something, and I want to encourage you at the same time. We have had, and continue to have, a covenant as a church for as long as I've been here. And I'm going to renew that covenant this morning and remind you of that covenant, and it's simply this. When I first came here years ago, I said this: I will pray and I will seek God for the messages that He wants me to preach in the pulpit every week. I won't look in the Bible and say, well, that'll preach. I mean, that's kind of an expression we have amongst preachers. And, well, that'll preach. And to the best of my ability, given the week that I have and the things that I have to do throughout the week, I will seek God to the best of my ability. And I'm not just going to look for things to preach, but what is He speaking to us as a church? Where is He taking to us? What's He speaking to the congregation? Now, your side of the covenant, I'm going to remind you of this morning, was to pray and seek God that whoever is speaking that Sunday, whether it's me on that Sunday or a guest comes in for that Sunday, that they are hearing from God. And not just putting a canned message together that they've preached all around or just putting something together that'll work, but they're hearing from God and they're bringing a message that God wants us to hear. And I truly believe that today's message was birthed in my heart by and from God. I believe He wants to hear us to hear this and respond to it. And this is one of those messages, I'll be honest with you, that I've been struggling with for a few weeks, had some notes put together, and even as I put it together this week, I kept going back saying, Lord, is this what You want me to do on Sunday? For whatever reason, I just really feel in my heart that God has something He wants to speak to each of us in this today. And God has a plan and a purpose for New Hope, and He has a plan and a purpose for you as well. And just as He desires that you thrive and flourish in your personal life and in your spiritual life, He desires that we thrive and flourish in our corporate life here at New Hope as well. That's His heart. You cannot look in the Word of God and find anywhere that in the New Testament that He does not want you personally to thrive personally in your life spiritually. Is that correct? You agree with that? He wants you to just flourish in your walk with Him. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have trials or difficulties, but you're going to flourish in your walk. You're going to be blessed of God. You're going to have the things of God in your life. You're going to hear from God. You're going to have the grace of God, the presence of God, the wholeness of God in your life. That's His heart for you. And that's His heart for New Hope as well. His heart is not that we come together and sing a few words and a couple songs, speak, you know, preach a little bit and shake each other's hand and give a hug and a kiss and a wave goodbye. And He wants more than that. He wants us to be involved and be an impact in the surrounding communities. He has a plan for that. And not only does He want you to grow as an individual this year, He wants you to be an active part and participant in the church this year. As you grow, the church grows. And not only does He desire for the church to grow numerically, but I believe He wants it to grow ministerially as well. That there are other areas of ministry that will touch the lives of people. As you sit there this morning, you think not only of your life personally, that I will say this first, that there are needs you have in your life that God will touch this year in some way, shape, or form. He has a plan to take you and move you and heal you and encourage you and teach you and bless you in your life this year. But we all know people that we touch in our lives, in our community, or in our workplaces that need God as well. They need some specific ministry as well. And the common mistake is thought, well, that ministry is done just through the clergy. Well, I certainly have a part to play in that and something to do in that, but the church and the people in the church have a huge impact, both within the church and outside the church, to touch people's lives as well. You may be feeling that you have too far to go in order to get to where I'm speaking, where you feel that God's taking you. And this may even sound overwhelming to you. You may sit there and look at your personal state and say, it's just too much. I've got too far to go. You may not even feel you want to go that far. For some, that would be too big a change in your life. I don't know that I want to make that kind of change. And I'm telling you, God is going to speak to some of you that's going to be sitting and listening and saying, yeah, I hear that, and I know ideally I'd like to be there. But do I really want to make that change? It's almost too overwhelming. This is not meant to overwhelm you. It's meant to encourage you that you can do it. That you can do it. One step at a time. That's the way everybody does it. It's like the old question, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. It's kind of a silly analogy, but how do you get to where you want to go? One step at a time. God's not going to expect you to go somewhere from where you are now and make this giant leap in your faith overnight. He does expect you to move in some sort of direction, and He will take you there. And I probably shared this, but I know in my life over the years, is my walk with God, you know, I've kind of grown. Sometimes you grow a little bit like this, and every once in a while, God will come along and do something in my life, and He'll just do this. He'll just boot me straight up. And it doesn't happen all the time, but, you know, that's not normally how growth goes. You grow slowly, and every once in a while, you kind of go back down, and you find yourself, I'm not where I used to be, and I'm struggling a little bit. I need to get back up. And you know, you don't want to do the old roller coaster thing like this. But, you know, life gets kind of dull, and you things find your Christianity slipping, so you can pull yourself back up. But you should always be growing. And it's every once in a while, God will do something new to you, supernaturally. They'll just shoot your faith level way up. He's done that several times over my life. Not as many as I would like, because they're nice. But, you know, you'll shoot up somewhere. But growth is by and large like this. And so He's not expecting you to jump somewhere where you're not, but He does want to take you on that path. And as a church, and myself personally, we're here to help you. We're here to help you. I will take your hand personally and grab God's hand and pull the two of you together and take you there personally and help you with that as well. You know, when I first went to Bible school, I had no idea what God had planned for me. I had no idea. I knew there was some sort of ministry He was calling me to. I did not for one minute think it would be full-time ministry. I just knew that He had some kind of calling in my life and I was to be more involved, and I knew that He was calling me to something. And I also knew at that point in my life that He was calling me to a time of preparation. And so when I went to Bible school, to me, it was just a time of preparation, and I just did what was in front of me. Again, I had no idea what He had planned for me, and that's okay, because I'd have probably ran in the other direction. It's like we all would. But you know, God is calling you to grow in Him this year and to grow in your effectiveness for the kingdom of God. When you look at that chart and you see five kinds of Christians, and some of them are far apart. I mean, if you looked at that, you know, the beginning active Christian and the culture Christian, it's like, how do you even call them the same Christianity? Because it's not there biblically. And yet we seem to want to fall under the same umbrella. And some of them are only a few things that separate them. Think, for example, the active Christian and the professing Christian both believe in salvation through Jesus Christ. The active Christian is a committed churchgoer. The professing Christian is less involved in church and in serving in the kingdom of God. He's more professing than he's acting. The active Christian reads his Bible, shares their faith. The professing Christian is not committed to Bible reading and sharing their faith. I mean, and again, you're going to find yourself in a blending. But even looking at those two that are fairly close, of the two, who do you think is living a more fulfilled life, a happier life? Who do you think is more effective for the kingdom of God? Well, obviously the active Christian. And I think the name says it all. Active. Are we active in our Christianity? Now, there's a warranted argument that many that call themselves Christians are not Christians at all. I mean, there's an argument for that, and there's some basis to that, especially when you look at it biblically. They're Christians in names only. And there's more than one reason for that, but one of the main reasons, and this is an important one, that in all of Christianity, only about 7% of Christians believe in sharing their faith and actively do so. 7%. That's amazing. Now, Christian churches are defined, and we could spend weeks on all the definitions they have out there, trust me. You know, but by and large, we have non-denominational and denominational, and we spread off from that. And then We've kind of defined it along more defining terms as, you know, charismatic, Baptist, Pentecostal, evangelical, to name a few. And I think what is most startling to me in all these names that we have and all these branches of Christianity is the fact that we'd even have to have something called evangelical. Now, in a broad brush, let me just tell you evangelical. I mean, in a broad brush statement is that when you hear people writing things out, you know, this is a denominational church, this is Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, you know, Baptist, evangelical, that sort of thing. Evangelical in a broad brush is a separation where it first started, doesn't totally mean this now, but first started in the Protestant movement. Coming out of Catholicism, when you know, Luther made his proclamation, and really Protestant really just is, Luther began to protest the Catholic Church. I am protesting the things in a way of faith that the church is teaching, and that's a very simple explanation. So those that came out of that denomination are by and large Protestants. That's where the name comes from. And so they began to say one of the main things was we need to share our faith. That faith is not, salvation is not by works, but through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so the understanding of evangelism. Now, it means a little differently today, but that's a broad understanding. And to be evangelical is to believe in evangelism. Believe in sharing your faith. Now, there are several other things that evangelical churches fall under. Very accurate things, you know, I won't spend a lot of time on them. They're committed, they're active, they believe in sharing their faith, they believe in the Word of God, believe in the authority of God, they believe in the sacrifice of the cross, those types of things. But to be evangelical is to say, it's important that we share our faith. It's an important thing that we bring people to a conversion in Jesus Christ. Because salvation is through Christ alone. Now, I don't get this because to me, if you're going to call yourself a Christian and you understand biblically what a Christian is, then you are called to share your faith. And if you understand biblically and you hold to the Word of God that says faith is through Jesus Christ alone, salvation is through faith in Christ alone, and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, then we have to believe that nobody is going to heaven outside of those that have been accepted by Christ. Amen? And washed in the blood. And I think we hold to that as a church. But regardless of where you fall doctrinally, be a Christian is to believe in salvation only through Jesus Christ. Many call themselves Christians, but they do so under the umbrella of saying, I believe in God. And they use God, if you would allow me to use a generic term. He's just God, not defining him at all. Christianity is about Christ. Christianity is about Christ and a personal relationship with Christ. Once you know Christ, he and he alone then brings you into a relationship with God the Father, to know the Father. Listen to me out of the words of Jesus. Listen to me to the words of Jesus out of Matthew. Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Can you imagine somebody spending their whole life thinking they have a relationship with God to someday stand before the Savior and he said, I never knew you. You never knew me. See, people need the Lord. People need Christ and they need to hear about him through you and through the local church. You are needed in the body of Christ. You are needed here at New Hope. We have a calling before us and we have a mission that God is calling us to. And as you purpose to define your commitment to Christ, understand, as you grow, his church grows. As you grow in your faith and grow in your commitment and grow in your walk, his church does. And I don't mean just this local church, certainly that, but the kingdom of God as well. There's a world full of people out there who need Jesus in their lives. There's a world full of children, a world full of teens, a world full of young adults and adults that need Jesus. There's a world full of hurting people that need Jesus and will only be healed through Jesus Christ and your specific ministry, your hand, your touch, You're speaking to them. You're reaching out to them. You're encouraging them. You're drawing them into church. You're bringing them along. It will be a part and parcel of their healing. There's a world full of people that think they know God, but have never met His Son, have never met the only one that can truly take them to heaven. As we move forward in Christ this year, and we will move forward, we can take great comfort in the God that we serve. You know, we may see charts defining the five kinds of Christians. We may see charts scattered around that define the types of churches and scattered about. This is a Catholic church. This is a Protestant. This is a charismatic. This is a, you know, Pentecostal. All these fine definitions. That's well and good. You will never see a chart that would define the five levels of the faithfulness of God. You won't see that chart. God is faithful because of His character. He will remain faithful regardless of how we decide to behave this year. He will remain faithful regardless of what decision we make this year about how and where we'll serve Him. He is an active God eternally. Period. There's nobody more committed to your walk, into your faith, into your life than God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Active. He will forever remain on His throne, will forever be pure and holy, will forever be righteous and majestic. He will remain all-powerful, all-knowing at all time. And most important of all, maybe, God will forever hold on to His promise of never leaving you, never forsaking you, for being with you always. And His message to you this morning is that we can do this together, that He has a plan for you in 08, a place to take you, and He's calling you to that. And as you sit in this congregation, all of you have a different walk in a sense of where you're at personally, what you're involved in, where you're at in the stage of life, from the younger to the older, the things that you're doing. No matter where you're at, God has a plan for you this year, a purpose for you this year, and a place that He's taking you. Let's stand together. You know, an active Christian reflects really who God is. God holds to the truth that salvation is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. God is committed to His followers. God holds the Bible to be the ultimate source of truth. The Word says His words will never pass away. And God has always taken responsibility, a leadership position, if you will, for you and your future. And God will invest Himself in you and in the church. As we close, Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men that say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some others Jeremiah and one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." 2008 is a year to be part of what God is doing in your life personally. 2008, I believe, is a year to be part of what God is doing in New Hope Christian Fellowship. This is His church. This is your church. This is our church. Let's follow God wholeheartedly this year. Amen? Let's worship God.
God put it on my heart to share a song with you. I've written a couple songs, and this one just goes so well with Pastor's message. I'm going to try to sing it for you. We don't have any music yet, so bear with me. It's called Stand Ready. Lord, I want to stand ready to live by Your word, to do what is right through what I have heard. I want to be faithful, doing all that I can. To live as a Christian, to live as your man. Help me, Jesus, to live my life as I should, forsaking this world and doing what's good. You set me down here at this time in this place. Lord, show me your mercy and cover me with grace. You set me down here at this time in this place. Lord, show me your mercy and cover me with grace.